one leg like this. Please understand it is because the seat is extremely comfortable.
И, то есть, ну, сидеть вот так, одна нога вверх, другая вниз, это не очень удобно, да? Ну, то есть приходится так сидеть, потому что такое удобное сидение.
If I sit with both my legs on the chair, there's a danger of falling down.
И если поставить обе ноги на стол, то опасно, ну, есть опасность упасть с него.
So, maybe somebody can get a better chair tomorrow.
Может быть, завтра можно лучший стул будет принести.
So, nobody has an English Gita.
А английская Гита ни у кого нет, да?
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maybe tomorrow we can also bring a board on which we can write down the verse so that the devotees can also chant the Sanskrit shlokas.
Может быть, завтра можно будет принести доску, на которой написать стих, чтобы все преданные повторяли.
So, since all of you are trying to become devotees of the Lord, I thought we could read from the 13th chapter the characteristics of a devotee.
И, ну, поскольку мы все преданные Господу, мы прочитаем, прочитаем 12 главу Бхагавад-гиты, где описывается качество преданных.
In the 12th chapter, from text 13 to 19, Krishna describes what are the characteristics of a devotee.
В 12 главе с 13 по 19 стих описывается качество преданных.
Of course, the characteristic of the devotees are stated in many different sections of the Bhagavad Gita, but this is one of the sections.
Конечно, качество преданного упоминается в разных частях Бхагавад Гиты, но это одна из таких частей.
So I'll read the Sanskrit. Those of you who have a Gita with you, you can follow me. It's chapter 12, text 13 and 14.
И Махарадж будет читать санскрит, у кого есть русская гита с собой, они могут следить за стихом.
Русские гиты? Нет.
Русские гиты есть у кого-нибудь?
Сколько преданы?
Сколько?
Адвешта сарва бхута нам Майтра каруна эвача Nirmamo nirankara Samadukha sukha kashami Adveshta sarva bhutanam Maitra karuna evacha Nirmamo nirankara Shta satatam yogi Yatma dhirda nishchaya Mai arpita mano buddhir Yo mad bhakta same priya.
Дословный перевод. Адвештам независливый. Сарва бхутанам ко всем живым существам. Майтрах дружелюбным. Карунах по-доброму. Эва непременно. Ча также. Нирмамах без чувства собственничества. Нираханкарах без ложного эго. Сама равна. Духах несчастье, сухах счастье, кшами прощая, сантуштах удовлетворенный, сататам всегда, йоги посвятивший себя преданному служению, ята атма владеющий собой. Дридха нишчаях, с решимостью. Мои, мне. Арпита, занятый. Манах, ум. Будхих, разум. Ях, тот кто. Мадбхактах, мой бхакта. Самая приях, он дорог мне. А, перевод стиха. Тот, кто независлив, но добрый друг всем живым существам, кто не считает себя владельцем чего-либо и свободен от ложного эго, кто не меняется в счастье и в несчастье, кто снисходителен, всегда удовлетворен, кто владеет собой и с решимостью отдает себя преданному служению, и чьи ум и разум сосредоточены на мне, такой бхакта очень дорог мне. Комментарий. Шрила Прабхупада. В этих двух стихах Господь вновь обращается к чистому преданному служению и описывает трансцендентные качества чистого преданного, чистого бхакты. Чистый бхакта невозмутим при любых обстоятельствах и не завидует никому. Он не становится врагом своего врага, ибо полагает, что человек стал его врагом из-за его собственных прошлых ошибок. Поэтому лучше страдать, чем возмущаться. В Шримад-Бхагаватам сказано «Тате нукампам сусу микшамано бахуня джана эватма криатам випакам». Всегда, когда бхакта в беде или затруднительном положении, он думает, что все это милость Господа. Он думает, из-за моих прошлых ошибок мне следовало бы страдать много больше, и только милостью Господа я не получаю того наказания, которое заслужил. Из милосердия Верховная Божественная Личность наказывает меня лишь слегка. Поэтому бхакта, несмотря на многие трудные обстоятельства, спокоен, терпелив и невозмутим. Он всегда дружелюбно настроен к каждому, даже к своим врагам. Нирмама означает, что он не придает большого значения ни радостям, ни страданиям, относящимся к его телу, поскольку знает, что он не есть это материальное тело. Он не отождествляет себя с телом и поэтому свободен от концепции ложного эго и одинаково воспринимает как счастье, так и страдания. Он терпелив и доволен тем, что даруется ему милосердным Господом. Он не пытается достичь того, что сопряжено с большими трудностями, и поэтому всегда пребывает в радости. Он является совершенным мистиком, так как твердо следует наставлениям своего духовного учителя. И он полон решимости, поскольку владеет своими чувствами. Его невозможно сбить ложными аргументами, ибо никто не может отвлечь его от твердого намерения преданно служить Кришне. Он полностью осознает, что Кришна есть вечный Господь, и никто не может отвлечь его от Него. Все эти качества позволяют ему направить свой ум и разум целиком на Всевышнего Господа. Такой уровень преданного служения, без сомнения, очень редко встречается. Но бхакта может достичь его, следуя регулирующим принципам бхакти-йоги. Более того, Господь говорит, что такой бхакта очень дорог ему, ибо Господь всегда доволен всеми его поступками, совершаемыми в полном сознании Кришны.
In this 12th chapter, which gives us information on the process of devotional service, Krishna is explaining in text 13 to 19 the characteristics of a devotee of the Lord.
И как уже говорилось, эта 12 глава описывает качество преданного, и здесь с 13 по 19 стих Кришна описывает качество преданного, своего преданного.
First point that Krishna is saying is, a devotee is not envious, but a kind friend of everyone.
Первое, о чем говорит Кришна, это то, что преданный независлив, но добрый друг всем живым существам.
What is the characteristic of material existence?
Каково же качество материального существования?
One characteristic is everyone is envious of everyone.
Одно из качеств состоит в том, что все завидуют друг другу.
Friendly to anyone.
И никто не является другом кому-то.
And even they're so very artificial.
И если существует какая-то дружба, то она временная, искусственная.
So a devotee is not any other living entity.
Но преданный не завидует никакому живому существу.
Why?
Почему?
Because he recognizes that everyone is coming from the Supreme Lord.
А потому что он понимает, что все исходят из Верховного Господа.
The materialists, they pretend to be very religious, but at the same time, they're envious of the children of the Lord, namely the animals.
Материалисты притворяются очень религиозными, но в то же время они завидуют другим детям Бога, которых мы называем животными.
Therefore, these animals are slaughtered.
И поэтому эти животных убивают.
Because the materialists think they have no right to live.
Потому что материалисты считают, что у них нет права на жизнь.
Like even in countries like India, when you tell people, why are you eating these cows? They say, oh, if we don't eat them, then they will come and eat us.
Допустим, спрашивают. Почему едите коров? Почему вы едите коров? И мясоеды отвечают: «О, если мы не будем их есть, они сами придут и съедят нас».
Little entertainment this microphone is providing.
Это такое развлечение, то есть микрофон нам устраивает веселье.
So, a devotee should not be envious of anybody else.
И преданный не должен никому завидовать.
In the material world, when we see that somebody has more than what you have, we become envious of each other.
В материальном мире, когда мы видим, что кто-то имеет больше, чем мы начинаем завидовать ему.
But in spiritual life, if we see that some devotee has more knowledge or better facilities than oneself, one doesn't become envious at all.
Но в духовной жизни, если преданный видит, что кто-то имеет больше знаний или больше возможностей, чем у него, он не завидует совсем.
So, material envy is very bad for spiritual advancement.
И таким образом материальная зависть очень плохо влияет на духовный прогресс.
There's also something known as spiritual envy.
Есть также нечто называемое духовной завистью.
Spiritual envy means that when you see that somebody is doing some service, you try and improve your service also to come up to his standard.
Духовная зависть означает, что мы, если мы видим, что кто-то занимается лучшим служением, мы стремимся улучшить свое служение и достичь.
Just like among the gopis, there is spiritual envy.
Есть духовная зависть.
How come this auditorium doesn't have a sound system?
Почему в этой аудитории нет?
So among the gopis, when Lalita sees that Vishakha is doing more service than her, then Lalita tries to increase her service. And then Vishakha sees that Lalita has increased her service, then she tries to do even more than Lalita.
И в духовном мире, если иногда микрофон нужно нашлепать, как маленького ребенка. Тут есть какой-нибудь инженер? Наша страна полна инженеров. Что там? И если в духовном мире Лолита что-то делает лучше, чем Вишакха, то Вишакха, она стремится, ну, так сказать, как бы завидует Лолите и пытается делать так же, как она.
Similarly, there is spiritual competition between Radharani and Chandravali.
И есть подобное духовное соревнование между Радхарани и Чандравали.
When Radharani sees that Chandravali is doing so much service, then she is inspired to increase her service. And when Chandravali sees that Radharani has increased her service, then she's inspired to increase her service.
И когда Радхарани видит, что Чандравали делает больше служения, она пытается увеличить свое служение. И когда Радхарани видит, наоборот, что Чандравали делает больше служения, та пытается улучшить свое.
So this is known as spiritual envy.
И это известно как духовная зависть.
So spiritual envy is constructive. Material envy is destructive.
И духовная зависть, она конструктивна, но материальная разрушительна.
Then it says, a devotee is a friend of all living entities. Then it says that a devotee is a friend of all living entities.
И затем говорится, что преданный друг всех живых существ.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam we see when Lord Kapila Dev was asked to explain by his mother the characteristics of a devotee.
В Шримад Бхагаватам мы видим, что мать попросила Господа Капилу Дева объяснить качество преданного.
And the Lord replied, Surda Sarvadhinam. A devotee is a friend of all living entities.
И Господь ответил, Сухридам Сарвадхинам, что преданный друг всех живых существ.
Prahlad Maharaj, as you know, was the son of whom? Who was Prahlad's father?
Prahlad Maharaj, как вы знаете, был сыном кого-то. Кто был отец Прохлада?
Who was Hiranyakashipu?
А кто был Hiranyakashipu?
Tolka. He was also a very powerful king.
Он также был очень могучим царем.
So, Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, had sent his son to a school, and he was telling the teacher, "Please train up my son in the art of diplomacy, which is dividing society into friends and enemies."
И Hiranyakashipu послал своего сына в школу и попросил учителей научить моего сына науке дипломатии, которая состоит в том, чтобы делить всех на друзей и врагов.
So when Prahlad's teachers started teaching him. Now, son, you must learn diplomacy. After all, you are the son of a king, and one day you have to become the king.
И учителя сказали: теперь тебе нужно научиться дипломатии, потому что ты сын царя, и однажды тебе придется стать царем.
They said, you cannot succeed as a king unless you learn to divide the society into friends and enemies. Some people must be your friends, and some you must consider are your enemies. They must be vanquished.
И ты не достигнешь успеха как царь, если ты не научишься дипломатии и не научишься различать друзей и врагов. И врагов нужно уничтожать.
Prahlad said, I'm not interested in this diplomacy.
И Прохлад сказал, что я не интересуюсь этой дипломатией.
I'm not interested in this knowledge of friends and enemies. I'm a friend of everyone.
Я не интересуюсь этим знанием о друзьях и врагах, поскольку я друг каждого.
So a devotee is a friend of everyone.
И таким образом преданный является другом каждого.
So as devotees, we should consider every Vaishnava as our friend.
И как преданные мы должны считать каждого Вайшнава своим другом.
Not that we say some Vaishnavas are our friends and some are our enemies.
Мы не должны говорить, что некоторые Вайшнавы наши друзья, а некоторые наши враги.
Now this is possible if we develop the vision of Vrindavan, which is looking at the good qualities in every Vaishnava.
И это возможно, если у нас есть видение Вриндавана, то есть мы пытаемся видеть хорошие качества в каждом Вайшнаве.
So, a devotee is a friend of every entity. He's a friend of even the ant.
И преданный является другом каждого живого существа, даже муравья.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very nice story of Jad Bharat and King Rahugana.
В Шримад Бхагаватам есть очень интересная история о Джади Бхарати и царе Рахугане.
Do your devotees know this story?
Знают преданные эту историю?
Вы знаете этот рассказ? So this is a very interesting story. Jad Bharat was, of course, the son of a Brahmana.
Это очень интересная история, и Джада Бхарата был сыном Брахмана.
And he was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb because he did not want to get involved in the society in material talk or material activities.
И он притворялся в обществе то, что он глухонемой, потому что он не хотел участвовать в никаких мирских беседах и заниматься мирскими делами.
So, on one occasion, the king Rahugana was being carried in a palanquin by the palanquin carriers.
И однажды царя Рахугану несли на паланкине его слуги.
And the palanquin carriers needed some help to carry the king. So they saw Jad Bharat, he was very handsome, tall, and said, come here, help carry the king.
И слугам нужна была помощь, и когда они видели Джаду Бхарату, они крикнули ему, эй, иди сюда, царю нужна помощь.
So Jad Bharat started helping the others in carrying the king.
И Джада Бхарата начал помогать другим и, нести царя.
So when they were carrying the king, the king noticed that Jat Bhad would not even keep his feet on the ground till he made sure that at least for the next 3 feet there was no end. So he was a Brahmana. He did not even want to hurt an ant. Similarly, there's another story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Narada Muni, while traveling once, had deformed a very dangerous hunter into becoming a saint. Narada Muni noticed that this hunter turned into a saint was so careful after he became a saint that he would not even put his foot on the ground till he made sure that there was no entity on the earth. So the conclusion is, a devotee is a friend of everyone. Then Krishna says, who does not think himself a proprietor. So this is one important difference between a spiritualist and a materialist. The materialist thinks, I'm the proprietor of everything, therefore I should use it as I see fit. As I see fit. Where the spiritualist thinks everything belongs to the Lord, therefore I should use everything in the service of the Lord. The Lord is the original proprietor of everything. As long as we think that we are the proprietors of all that we survey, the living entity has to be entangled in the samsara of birth and death. So we have to understand everything belongs to God, everything is coming from God, everything is being maintained by God, therefore everything should be used in service of God. So what does Krishna consciousness mean? Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that you have to change your dress. Krishna consciousness means you have to change your consciousness. You have to change your consciousness to understand how Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Then Lord Krishna says, free of false ego, nirankara, nirmamo nirankara, give up this false ego. False ego means you identify with the body. Identify with the senses. Get influenced by lust, anger, greed, envy, hatred. Krishna says, lust, anger, and greed are three gates that take you to hell. Now, it is explained, the ego has to be there. If you don't have false ego, then there must be real ego. The difference is, false ego means identification with the body, with the senses and activities of sense enjoyment. And real ego means identification in your position as the eternal servitor of the Lord and using your body to serve the Lord. Javera Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das. This is the conclusion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how everything should be used in service of the Lord. So, give up your false ego and come to the correct understanding that we are the servants of the Lord. Then Krishna says, Sama Dukha Sukha Kashame. Dukha and Sukha. Dukha and Sukha in Sanskrit translated into English mean happiness and distress. So in the material world, there is happiness and distress. Prahlad Maharaj has explained in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, everyone who is born with his quota of happiness and distress. Now what is the normal tendency? When you get what you want, you're very happy. And when you lose what you want, you become sad. Krishna says, become equipoised in both situations, happiness and distress. Just like in the second chapter also Krishna says, Matra spasrati kaunte suho sitoshna dukha dukhada agamana paino nityastam tete shashwa bharata. Krishna explains how he is a perfect dhira who is equipoised or who is free from the duality of happiness and distress, victory and defeat, honor and dishonor. So, one should be equal also in distress. It is explained that a devotee of the Lord is fearless. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya pratijanahi na me bhakta pranashati. Arjuna, please declare to the world that my devotee will never perish. So how do you become fearless? You have read in the Bhagavatam, Prahlad was thrown from the top of the mountains, he was administered poison, he had snakes surrounding him, elephants walk over him, thrown in boiling oil, still he did not become fearful. We also see that Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed to die by the Brahmin boy Sringi. Parikshit Maharaj was a young, handsome man, king, young king. But the boy said, now you're going to die in 7 days. Still the king did not get fearful. We see in the Bhagavatam that Dharasa Muni was a very powerful mystic yogi. He had thousands of disciples. He would travel from one place to another with 10,000 of his disciples. And he was such a powerful yogi that he could even go to the demigods. He could go to any planet, even go to the Supreme Lord. But he was not a pure devotee of the Lord. He had envy in his heart. And he was envious towards a very exalted devotee of the Lord. What was the devotee's name? Krishna heart. Okay. So the Rasa Muni was envious of Amrish Maharaj, and when he saw that Amrish had invited him for prasad, but he drank water without waiting for him, he, in order to punish Amrish, produced a demon from his sika, that he was thinking the demon was supposed to burn Amrish to ashes. So, the Rasa Muni produced a demon from his sika. I don't think any of you can produce a demon from your sika, can you? You don't have the same power as the Rasa Muni. Then there's another occasion. Once this Brahmana Jad Bharat, about whom we just spoke, he was guarding a paddy field. Jad Bharat, as we told you earlier, was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb. So his father died. He had a stepmother, and the stepmother, after his father's death, used to treat him very rudely. So the stepmother and the stepbrother said, "Okay, you fool, go and guard the paddy field. Make sure no dacoits come in the night to eat our crops, to steal our crops." So Jad Bharat was guarding the paddy field when some dacoits came and kidnapped him. And the dacoits were getting ready to offer Jad Bharat to the goddess Kali. They were going to chop his head and offer it to goddess Kali, because they wanted the dacoit chief to have a son. Some foolish people even now offer children to goddess Kali. In India, sometimes in the papers you read about some foolish family offering their son or daughter to goddess Kali. So the dacoits, they were giving Jad Bharat a good massage, good bath. They made him dress up nicely, just like when we offer our fruits to the deities. We wash the fruits nicely, we cut them nicely, then we offer them to Gonatha, isn't it? So Jad Bharat was about to be offered to goddess Kali. Still he did not get scared, he did not move, he did not run away, he did not shout, "Pamoch, Pamoch, help, help." And what happened? As the dacoit were getting ready to put the chopper on Jad Bharat's head, neck, the deity of Kali came out from the statue, and with the same chopper she cut all the dacoits' heads. We gave you these examples to show how a devotee is fearless, because he knows that my Lord will come to my protection. So a devotee is equal in happiness and distress.
If happiness comes, he knows that happiness is also coming by the grace of the Lord. And he knows that today there is happiness, tomorrow it can also go away. In the material world, all pleasures and pain are temporary. So Krishna says, become equal in both distress and happiness. Then, a devotee of the Lord is tolerant. So we see in the Vedic scriptures, this quality of tolerance is mentioned again, again, again. Why is this quality of tolerance mentioned again and again? Because without tolerance, you cannot make spiritual advancement. Therefore, what has Lord Chaitanya said on this point? That is, if one wants to be in a position of chanting the holy names of the Lord consistently, one should become more tolerant than the tree, more humble than the blade of grass, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and in such a stage, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So, Krishna is saying in this verse also, one must be tolerant.
Just see
how tolerant the tree is. Both in summer and winter, the tree is there to give you protection. See, everybody steps on the blade of grass, but the grass never retaliates. You never see the grass biting you because saying, why are you walking on my head? Just imagine if somebody walked on your head, you'd be ready to kill him. But the grass doesn't try to kill you. It tolerates, everybody's walking on it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants us to become more tolerant than the blade of grass. So that means that even if you're insulted, even if you have to face difficulties, even if you have to go through inconveniences, do not in any way get discouraged from the spiritual path. Then it is said, who is always satisfied, santoshtya, a devotee is always satisfied. So by the will of the Lord, we receive our quota of happiness and distress based on our past karma. He is satisfied with what is provided by the will of the Lord. If a devotee is satisfied by the will of the Lord, then spiritual life becomes easy. Bhagavatam, Narada Muni has told the Prachetas, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushta yena kenava sarvinandi pashyatyacha tushyat yashu janardana. That if we want to please Janardana, then one must be satisfied with what is provided by the will of the Lord. In mature life, no one is satisfied. Living in Kazakhstan, Almaty, you devotees may think, if only we become little rich, then I'll be satisfied. But the nature of material existence is, we can never be satisfied. Because everybody is greedy. So as much as you have is less than what you should be having. Therefore we see materialists, we meet so many rich people, they have 10 cars, 20 cars, 30 cars, so many houses, still they're always complaining in anxiety. They have so much money, they don't even know where to keep it. And they're still so busy, full of anxiety. This is a fact, don't be surprised. I know a lot of people who are multimillionaires, but so miserly and in so much anxiety. Therefore Narada Muni says, you can satisfy a hungry man by giving him food. You can satisfy a thirsty man by giving him water. You can satisfy an angry man when he has the opportunity to shout at you. But a greedy man can never be satisfied. Krishna is saying here, a devotee should be satisfied. So, be satisfied. Of course, one has to endeavor to some degree. But overall, even after your endeavor, if you don't get something, don't grumble, don't be dissatisfied. But be satisfied by what is provided by the will of the Lord. So further, Krishna says that a devotee is satatam, that is, he is self-controlled. Self-control, as you know, means he has control over the mind and the senses. What is the nature of the mind and the senses? They always want satisfaction. But can they ever get satisfied? Can the mind and the senses ever get satisfied? Sure. Can they get satisfied? I say yes. Yes. So they can never be satisfied through material endeavors, but they can be satisfied through spiritual endeavors. So the mind and the senses, they're always agitating. And therefore, rare opportunity for perfecting human life is lost. So all the scriptures explain that one must practice spiritual austerity to please the Lord. We are talking about spiritual austerity, not just austerity. For example, even in your country, people have to stand in strong, long lines to buy some product. They have to wait for a bus 1 hour sometimes. No. 1 to 2 hours to wait at the bus stop. Sometimes you have to go without water and without heating for hours and hours. You have to go to work in the factory, Zawod, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you drive at 5 o'clock in the morning, you'll see in every apartment building, virtually all the buildings are off, lights are off, but still sometimes some people have to go to work early in the morning. Then, even the transcendentalists, they have different types of austerities. Some yogis in India, they don't speak at all. They seal their tongue. Seal their tongue. They don't really seal the tongue. The tongue is still there, but they don't use the tongue to speak. And it's very cold. They will surround themselves with cold water. Go in the river and take cold water bath, stay in cold water for hours and hours. In your country, when it's very cold, the rivers, they freeze, they become ice. But in India, it doesn't get so cold, so the Ganges, even in winter, it doesn't become ice. The water remains cold. So you find all these yogis, they go and stay in the cold water for hours, all day. They'll just stay in the cold water. This is their austerity. And in the summer, they will light strong fire and surround themselves with fire. So these are some of the different types of austerities that people perform. But we are talking about austerity. Tapo devyam putraka yena sattvam. Maharaj Rishabhdev said, my dear sons, please perform austerities, but for the pleasure of the Lord. Divyam. So even if the senses are agitating, we must control them. Just like the mother taking care of a small child. It is not that everything the small child wants to buy in the store, the mother says, okay, I'll buy it. The parents discriminate. They only buy what is good for the child and they reject what is bad. So similarly, they must be self-controlled. Use the mind and the senses in activities related to devotional service, but withdraw the mind and the senses from activities that are detrimental for spiritual advancement. Then Krishna says, engage in devotional service with the determination, dirdha nishtaya. Dirdha nishtaya means with determination. So to stay on the spiritual path, one must be determined. Without determination, you can't advance spiritually. Just like in material life, people are determined to have sense enjoyment. So even though they have to go through so much frustration, they still keep endeavoring. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives a very famous example with regards to determination. And what is that example? Who knows? Yes, the bird and the ocean. The ocean had swallowed the birds of the ocean, or the children of the bird. And when the bird threatened the ocean, "Please return my eggs," the ocean did not take it seriously. The bird told the ocean, "If you don't return my eggs, I'll dry you up." Ocean said, "Okay, try it." And the bird started drying up the ocean with a small mouth. So materially, this was an impossible task to execute, drying up the whole ocean by a small bird, by the mouth of a sparrow. But Garuda heard of the news, and then Garuda came to the bird sparrow's rescue, and the children were returned. So all of you have come to the spiritual path. You must stay on this path with determination. Now that there's a little difficulty, and you think of packing up your bags. Little difficulty, you say, "Oh, maybe I should try some other path." We must understand that Krishna will put his devotees to test. Krishna will test us to see how determined and dedicated we are to him. And when Krishna sees that, "Oh, this person had the opportunity to fight to fall in Maya. This person had the opportunity to make these mistakes. He did not. He sacrificed all these opportunities to show his love for me." Then Krishna gives you the final entrance into the kingdom of God. Then Krishna says, "Mind and intelligence fixed on me." What is the nature of the mind? Who knows? Fickle? The nature of the mind is it is very fickle. What does Arjuna say? "More difficult to control the wind than the mind." So more difficult to control the mind than the wind. Have any of you ever tried to control the wind? Does it ever get windy in Almaty? I'm sure it does in the summer. So have you ever tried to control the wind? But Arjuna says, it's more difficult to control the mind than the wind. So then what should he do? Should he just give it up, raise your hands and say, "No, can't control the mind, forget it"? In the sixth chapter we see that Krishna through so many verses is explaining how we must control the mind. So Krishna has explained, "Man mana bhava mahadbhakta mahadyaji manavaskuru." Always think of me, bow down to me, offer your homage unto me. So use the mind to think of Krishna. Use the mind to think of the form of Krishna, desires of Krishna, instructions of Krishna. to use the mind positively instead of negatively. Just like when the mother wants to control the child from undesirable activities, the mother has to give the child some alternative activity to engage in. So Krishna says, use your mind to think in thinking of me. Use your intelligence to think of me also. Use your intelligence in my service also. So there is no shortage of intelligence on this planet. The materialists are very intelligent. The mind, intelligence is higher than the mind. And the karmis are also so intelligent. You see, the karmis are able to do so many wonderful activities. You know these aeroplanes that fly in the sky, they fly almost automatically. You can just dial a number and in 1 minute you can speak to somebody in Vrindavan or New York or London. You can take pictures from a distance of 100,000 feet. When the microphone works well, we can use the microphone to speak to you, even to big, big audiences. So, people have so much intelligence. Now they have a computer chip. It is the size of the nail. You cut and throw away, and that computer chip, you can store thousands of items in this memory. So, intelligence is being misused. Intelligence is being used for destructive purposes, not constructive. So Krishna says, use your intelligence for me. Now what does this practically mean, use your intelligence to me? It means that think how you can use intelligence to serve me. Suppose you're doing book distribution. Think how you can improve your book distribution. Always think how you can improve the quality of your japa. See how you can study the scriptures better. Whatever you're doing, improve it. Just like when Prabhupada started this Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada instructed his disciples that he wanted book distribution because his spiritual master had emphasized his activity of book distribution. So devotees were thinking, Prabhupada said book distribution, okay, let us do book distribution. In the beginning, I remember in 1968-69 when we would go on book distribution in America, one devotee would come back with 5-6 books distributed the whole day. It was very big, big success. But devotees were not satisfied. They were constantly using their intelligence to increase book distribution. They were thinking of newer techniques. So they went on experimenting, and slowly book distribution reached such high level. Similarly, in your country also, like in Moscow, in this book distribution marathon, the devotees distributed nearly 125,000 big books. few years ago, it was not like this. 125,000 big books. But few years ago, it was not like this. One devotee goes out in Moscow in nice clothes and distributes sets of books in big, big offices, and he does sometimes 20, 30 sets in one day. One devotee goes out in sets, selling sets, dressed up in very nice clothes, and he is able to do 20, 30, 40, 50 sets in offices every day in Moscow. So we gave you some examples to show how you can use your intelligence to serve Krishna. How you should use your intelligence to improve the service you're doing for Krishna. So the devotee is never satisfied with what he's doing. He's always trying to improve the quality of his chanting, reading, serving. So Krishna says, a devotee is one for whom nobody else is put into difficulty. So a devotee doesn't want, because I must get this, I don't care what happens to you.